This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Hoyer bootleg rollout, rolling to the middle, stepping up. He's got Gabriel wide open. He's got it. First and goal.
Cleveland native, former Browns quarterback and Super Bowl champion Brian Hoyer on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com.
All right, you heard it. Brian Hoyer, he joins us right now. Hello, Brian. Good morning to you. Back from your trip from Europe.
Hey, Ken. Anthony, how are you doing? Missed you guys last week, but I had the opportunity to go out to Germany and open a flag football facility. So, look, football's growing, and it's going to be in the Olympics in 2028, and I can tell you the Germans love football, so it was a fun experience.
The Germans love Hasselhoff and they love football. What are you out there?
Did you consult with our buddy Joe Thomas on this? He certainly knows the lay of the land out there.
Oh, yeah. Joe was chirping me the whole time he was in Munich. Come on, you got to come help coach these quarterbacks. I'm like, Joe, I'm still playing. Like, I can't just pick up and leave. And look, I actually got to visit, Joe helped coach the Munich Ravens, and I was in Dusseldorf, so I went to a Rhine Fire practice. If you guys remember that from the old NFL Europe,
yes.
They have the league there, and got to walk through, and Jim Tomsula is their head coach. So look, they're growing the sport there, which is pretty cool to see, obviously with games being played there. And I remember, my dad's from Germany, so when his cousins would come over, they wanted to do was go to the Browns game. So it's growing, and this sport is obviously bigger than ever, which is always great for all of us.
Yeah, the Browns should be very big in Germany by now. All right, Tone, take it away.
So I imagine at the height of all your conversations over there in Germany had to be, who's the better all-time Colorado quarterback, Shador Sanders or Slash?
Yeah, look, I've been listening this morning. It's an interesting argument, obviously, bringing it up because of the retirement of Shador's number. I can't believe when you guys ran it off. I mean, to me, like, you would think Cordell would be – his number would be retired. I remember growing up watching him play, and then obviously he went to the Steelers, so I didn't like him at all. But he was such an intriguing player and so talented. And to me, I don't know how you can retire Shador's number and not retire Cordell Stewart. I mean – really, he's when you think, look, we're not talking about a football super powerhouse here in college football with Colorado, but when I think of Colorado, I think of Cordell Stewart and Rashawn Salaam, and because of my football education, Byron Wizard White. I mean, those are the only three guys that come to mind. And so to me, I don't think you can, well, look, they're going to retire Shador's. Obviously, Travis Hunter is probably the best player who's ever played at Colorado. I know you guys said that, but there's got to be something for Cordell if you're going to retire Shador's number.
Brian Hoyer joining us here. All right, Brian, Joe Flacco, you were pretty excited when the Browns signed Joe Flacco. Why?
Well, I think they're a playoff team with Joe Flacco, and I know he's older, but look what he did. It was just a few short years ago, comes in midseason, is the comeback player of the year, takes the Browns to the playoffs. And look, a big reason they didn't want to bring him back is because they didn't want that threatening competition in the room with Deshaun, and clearly that didn't work out. And so to me, it's a great reunion. Obviously, he has a great relationship with Coach Stefanski and their offensive system. And Joe is more than capable. I mean, I heard one of the callers saying he's not that big of a guy. He's the biggest quarterback that I've ever played with in the league. 6'6", 230, 240, a huge arm, and is a smart player. And so to me, the Browns are a playoff team with Joe Flacco. I think they have a good enough team, a good coaching staff, and to me at this point, it allows you to draft the best player available at number two, which I love because to me, honestly, I think Tennessee is drafting out of necessity and not look that we're assuming they're going to take Ward at one. I think that's more out of necessity than actually taking the best player because I do think the two best players in this draft are Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. So by signing Flacco, I know it's a short stopgap. Obviously, you have Kenny Pickett in the room as well. It allows you to draft the best player in the draft because we know or we're assuming that Tennessee's not going to draft the best player in the draft. They're drafting a quarterback because they need it. So now you have the selection, whether it's Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, to really improve your team. And actually, the more I look at it, I would lean towards Abdul Carter and kind of model your team after the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw what they did in the Super Bowl, getting after Patrick Mahomes with a pass rush. I think they blitzed one time the entire game. Build that strength in that pass rush. You have Myles Garrett. You add Abdul Carter. Bolster the defense. And then to me, you go out and you get a quarterback in the second round. And Ken, you know who I like as a potential guy to come in and now learn under Flacco.
Tell everyone.
Another big guy, and it's Will Howard. And I've liked him up to this point watching him on film. I've liked what he did in that college football playoff run. And the more I watch him, whether it's the Gruden show, whether it's Hey Rookie with the NFL, he just has this, I don't want to call it, but the personality. I think guys are going to be drawn to him. I think he has leadership skills. He has, as the young kids might call it, aura. The more I watch the kid, the more I listen to him, the more I like him. And I don't think there's this big separation from him, Jackson Dart, Shuck from, to me, he's a winner. You saw on Gruden comparing him, he's the same size as Josh Allen. He doesn't have nearly as strong of an arm as Josh Allen, but to me, he's a versatile quarterback who's going to drop back, look to throw the ball, and if it's not there, he can pull it down and run. He can scramble. We saw the touchdown in the national championship game. They all collapsed on him. He throws it back across the middle. It was a very Josh Allen-esque play. And so to me, you have a guy now in Joe Flacco who can solidify your quarterback room. You go out, you get your best player at two, and then you figure out a way to get Will Howard at some point.
Brian Hoyer, you have so many opinions. I wrote down three different things I wanted to highlight, including Brian.
I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I have so much to say.
Yeah, I mean, you just said the Browns are a playoff team with Joe Flacco, and then you talked about Will Howard. So I want to get to Will Howard part of this quickly and seize on this. The arm strength thing, Brian, you know, you were able to hang around the league a very long time, start a bunch of games. You made a lot of money in the NFL, and your arm was something that people kind of picked apart. They're like, I don't know if Brian's arm is strong enough. And maybe if it was, you would have gotten drafted, you know, as opposed to what ended up happening, which was fortuitous for your career. So with that said, tell us how a player can get by when the arm strength isn't what some of the guys at the top of the draft might be.
Well, this is the thing. I think arm strength is one of the biggest myths in our sport. I would say, let's just say you have 32 teams, the starter and the backup on both those, so 64 guys. Out of those 64, there's really like five guys that have elite arm strength that is better than the rest. And there's probably five guys at the bottom that are true finesse play. But the guys in the middle, we all throw the same. Look, I played catch with a lot of them. Tom Brady, Jay Cutler, Ryan Mallett. I mean, I played Jimmy Garoppolo. Look, we're all kind of same. Now, there's guys, obviously, like Matthew Stafford, Mahomes, Josh Allen. Look, Joe Burrow, to me, doesn't have the elite arm strength. He has great ball placement, great timing, all of those things. And so, to me, Will Howard fits in the middle. He's definitely not on the bottom half. And so, to me, did I have the strongest arm? No, but there's a lot that goes into it. I made a lot of deep comeback throws, even there in Cleveland on the lake. Like, Will Howard's more than capable of doing those things. And I think also there are certain things as you grow as a professional player, you learn kind of, I'll call them the tricks of the trade, whether it's footwork, your base, you can improve arm strength. And so to me, Will Howard has the frame to do it. And with coaching and mechanics, his arm strength only going to get better, not worse.
Well, you mentioned on the lake, so I want to know how it did impact you because you said that you had, you know, little issue doing it, but yet it's at the same time, AFC North, you know, when you're playing in Baltimore, when you're playing in Pittsburgh, not to mention here, why is it that so many of the draft pundits, and it seems NFL teams, they ogle over that arm strength every year in the draft.
Well, I grew up in it. I mean, look, you know how it is in Cleveland. When it starts to snow, it's time to go out and play football in the backyard. So I loved it. And to me, the key is not so much the arm strength. It's throwing a great spiral. If you throw a good spiral, it's going to cut through the wind. And Bill Belichick would always tell us the wind and the elements will always affect the kicking game more than it will in the passing game. Because as an NFL quarterback, you throw a good spiral and you have decent zip on it, it's going to cut through the wind. And so obviously that's a big thing when you're playing in the elements, which is another reason why, and I know the stadium is a hot topic, it's an advantage to go play out there on the lake if you embrace it. Now, what that means is you can't go in the bubble and practice when it's bad weather. You got to practice when it's outside. You got to embrace the elements. It's kind of like Bane in Batman. He's like, you merely adopted the dark. I was born in it. Well, you can't just adopt the cold. You have to be born and bred and live through it and then go out there on Sunday and you're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars in December. You already know you got them beat because you have the elements behind you and you have to embrace those things. And so I always enjoyed it. Obviously, playing there in Cleveland, it's what I grew up in. And those, to me, that's football weather.
Oh, it sounds like Brian's making a passionate argument to keep the stadium outdoors and on the lakefront. That's what it sounds like over here. Listen to you interjecting politics within your football.
He just unleashed a torrent.
Yes, he did.
Of opinions, some hot takes in there, some things that cut against the norm of what everybody is saying in this draft. Brian, I don't know what you've been doing. Apparently, you weren't doing anything with flag football out in Germany. You were just piecing together this diatribe for today.
Hey, I got to keep my eye on Cleveland at all times, especially with this weekly call-in. And obviously, my brothers keep me updated. They're obviously fans. They give me hot takes, and I have there's a crew out of the Panera and Avon. I get updates from those guys, what they want to hear, what they want to talk about. So I'm well connected in the Cleveland area.
The great Brian Hoyer joining us here. All right, Joe, is there a name like you don't want to hear coming up at number two for the Browns, and that includes trade back? You can say you'd also don't want to trade back.
No, I would hate for them to trade back. Like I said, to me, really, the Browns are in the best position because they have the opportunity to draft the best player, whatever that is in their mind, because they have Joe Flacco now. You have Kenny Pickett. And I know the fans are going to say, what about the future? I really believe you draft the best player, whoever you deem that to be, whether that's Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and then you get, whether it's you trade back in late in the first round because you want to add that extra year for a quarterback, whoever that might be. Look, we don't even know what's going to happen with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, when I hear Albert Breer say there's not many teams that have a first-round grade on him, he could slide. Albert is very connected, and I've talked to several coaches around the league who have kind of confirmed that for me. So you may get another chance at Shedeur. I don't know. We don't know how it's going to play out. But I would not draft Shedeur at two with the hopes that we'll get some. You go out and you get the best player, you improve your team. Like I said, I do believe they're a playoff team with Joe Flacco playing this year. And I think if you can find a way, and you have to see how the draft's playing out, if the quarterbacks continue to slide, maybe you can wait to the second round for a Will Howard or even a Jackson Dart. I don't think the team would be that much different if you had Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, Will Howard. I think they're all in that category. And the thing I love about Will Howard is just his attitude, his aura. And who's not going to love a guy from Ohio State heading up to Cleveland to play quarterback, and not to mention learn from a guy like Joe Flacco?
All right, Brian, I got two more I have to ask you, and we're running out of time. This is all good stuff. I want to get away from the draft for just a second. Aaron Rodgers, what would the Steelers be best served? Would they be best served moving forward without him, or like, hey, we got to wait on Aaron Rodgers to see what they have?
I think if you're the Steelers, you give them a date, an ultimatum, and say, look, Aaron, for the benefit of our team, we have to know if we're going to have you or not, because when we go into this draft next week, we have to make those plans accordingly. So I think they would actually benefit from having Aaron for a year, possibly two, depending on how his health holds up. Obviously, they were a playoff team last year. They've added DK Metcalf. I think he actually would pair well with a Mike Tomlin. I was only there for a few short weeks, but I actually loved Coach Tomlin and the way he coached the team, and kind of a no-nonsense. You see guys like Cam Hayward saying, look, either you want to be a Steeler or not. It is kind of a, I don't want to give them compliments here on a Cleveland radio show, but it is one of those organizations where it's no drama. Like, you either come and do it or you don't, but you got to at some point say, look, we got to make a decision here, Aaron, and move on, because we can't go into the draft not knowing what our quarterback situation is.
All right. Are you, this is unfair, but I did think about it during the interview. Are you familiar with what's going on with Nico Iamalieva down at Tennessee? You've been brought up to speed?
Yeah, I've kind of hit on it. Look, this is what happens when you have no rules, no regulations. It's the Wild West. I mean, imagine an NFL player being like, I'm going to hold out. I have a contract already. And the team being like, whatever, get out of here. Like, you can't do that. And so when there's no rules and regulations, it's literally the Wild, Wild West. So he wants to hold out for more money. And they're like, fine, peace out, Holmes. Like, we don't need you. It's just, to me, the whole college landscape is wild. I don't know how they're going to rein it back in. Obviously, he had an agreement. He's trying to change it. I don't know. I mean, look, that's what the CBA is for in the NFL. They're going to have to figure out some type of rules and regulations and how to deal with these things.
Brian Hoyer joining us this morning, brought to you by Montrose. Brian, thank you so much. You're outstanding as always. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. And people are bustling over the Will Howard stuff, so thank you very much.
All right, no problem, guys. See ya.
See you as well. Brian Hoyer joining us. Go ahead there, Tone.
Brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose, click, cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com.
All right, as he made you think differently about Will Howard and what he just said about Nico Iamalieva, you know, there's something that an Ohio State fan does have to consider here when it comes to that young man. We'll get into that coming up. Ken Carman, Anthony Lima. That's in 5 minutes on The Fan.